But have you ever asked yourself, why do I do that? What's the purpose behind me studying God's Word? Why do I take the time each week on the first day of the week to come to God's house and learn more about His Word? Those of us who are in school, we know the purpose of us going to school and learning those things is to help us gain an education so that we can get a job in the future, to support ourselves in this life. We understand the purpose of going to school. And because we understand that, we do it. So why should we not understand why we study God's Word? And that's what I want us to talk about this evening. Is this clicker working? Well, we'll just have to deal without the PowerPoint tonight. But that's what I want us to talk about this evening. Why do we study God's Word? What is the purpose behind studying God's Word? And there are many different reasons for that this evening, that we're going to look at this evening. The first of which is to study, we study God's Word to establish and keep our faith. Or in other words, to study, to gain a faith, and then once we have that faith, to help it to grow, to make it stronger, to help us become better Christians in God's service. If you look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, this passage says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." This passage tells us that our faith, when we have our faith, it comes straight from God's word. Without reading God's word, without knowing what it says, we wouldn't even have a faith at all. We come to know who God is. We come to believe that He exists. We come to believe in His power because we have opened God's Word, because we have opened it and seen what He can do. It is through study of God's Word that we come to believe in God at all. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Everything that we have in God's Word, every example of faith, every miracle that we see, not only from God Himself, Jesus when He was on this earth, but all of His followers, all the miracles that they performed, John tells us here that the purpose of those things was to help us believe, was to help us increase our faith, help us to understand God's power. And don't we believe God? Believe in God all the more because we have these examples? Because we can see what God can do? Not with our own physical eyes. No, we can't actually see what God did, but we can read about it and know exactly what he can and has done. In Acts chapter 17, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Now these Jews, meaning the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily, to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing, as well as men." These Jews, the Bereans, what caused them to believe? Was it just the mere words of men, the people that they were hearing these sermons come from? Did they just go on blind faith because this is what people were telling them? No, it tells us here in Acts chapter 17 that they searched the scriptures. They took the time to sit down and see what did God have to say on the matter. It was their study of God's Word that helped them to establish their faith. It was because they read the Word of God that these people believed. It was because they saw that what the men were saying fit God's Word. That is what caused them to believe, not the mere workings of men. Then you go over to Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. "Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized." Again, the word of God was preached. The word of God was heard. That is what caused faith. That is what caused people to become Christians in the first place. And that's the only way for the lost to know God. It is for them to hear God's word. We have to hear God's word. Otherwise, how can we even have a faith in the first place? But not only that, how else can we strengthen it? Doesn't our faith waver from time to time? Don't we grow doubtful about the promises that God has given us? This world is filled with many temptations, many things that we as Christians have to go through, many things that we struggle with. And if you're like me, sometimes those can become overbearing. get to the point where you might have some doubts, where you might start to lose your faith. But if you're like me also, opening God's Word and having those reminders of who God is, the person that we serve, the being that we serve, who has created all of the world, knowing that we serve Him and all the promises that He has given us, we can know and we can strengthen our faith through those reminders. So that's one of the reasons why we should open God's Word daily, not just when we come to church on Sundays or Wednesdays, not just during gospel meetings or Bible classes we have throughout every now and again, but at least once a day. It helps us to keep our faith strong and to face those trials and temptations when they come, because they will come. That's not something that we can just coast through life and never have anything of. They're going to come. And consistent study of God's Word will keep us strong. It has for me. And I know several other people who has done that same thing for. But another reason we should study God's Word is because of all the claims that the Bible itself makes about itself. First off, it says that it's the inspired Word of God. And if that's true, which it is, should we not read it? If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Paul tells Timothy here that this message that he proclaimed to the world, that he proclaimed to Timothy, that Timothy is supposed to continue preaching, it's all breathed out by God. This isn't something that man made up. This isn't just of the workings of man. It is the workings of a being who created the universe, created everything that we know, created us ourselves. And because of that, it is profitable for us in every way we go. God knew exactly what he had in mind when He designed us, when He made man. He had a specific purpose for us. So the Word of God helps us in that way. It guides us in that way. It trains us in the ways of God, and it also corrects us when we fall short. One duty we have as Christians is to be able to help fellow Christians and the world about us to become stronger in the faith of Christ, to know God in the first place. And the Bible is one of those ways that we can do that. We will know when people are stumbling, when they mess up, and we will also know how to correct. We know that we need to correct. The Bible is profitable for every good work. You go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Every single thing we hear in the Scriptures, again, it wasn't something that man made up. It wasn't the workings of man. These were the words of God. Even the prophecies back in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all of them were words of God, not words of man. Those men didn't come up with the things they said. God inspired them to speak those things, gave them those messages, gave them those prophecies to prophesy. And how many of those prophecies came true? Every single one. Every word that is in the Scriptures was given to us by God. And this reason alone should make us want to study the Scriptures. But yet there are still more. Number two is, well, it's God's message to man. As I've already said, God made us and had a specific purpose in mind when He made us. God's Word tells us exactly how we are to live our life, how to cope with all of the trials that we face in this life. He tells us exactly what our purpose is, tells us exactly how we're supposed to go about life. God's Word tells us all of that. And this was even from the beginning. This wasn't just in the New Testament. From the very beginning, God had laid out His plan for us, given His Word to mankind. Back in the days of the patriarchs, it was through direct contact with them, speaking to them directly. Then the Old Testament, it was the prophets. And then with us, it was Jesus and the apostles. God delivered His message to us from the very beginning. You look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. From the very beginning. And he did it in many different ways, as this verse tells us. Direct contact with the patriarchs, the miracles that he performed while on this earth. God has presented his word to us in so many different ways. And the purpose was so that we would know exactly what God's plan was for us. So that we wouldn't be ignorant of God's plan. That's God's purpose in giving us his word. A third claim it makes is the word of God frees us. You go over to John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" All of these other doctrines out in the world claim that this is some way for us to reach some sort of liberation for ourselves, some way for us to feel free of all the trials of this world. But how many of them actually promise us freedom from all unrighteousness, all temptations, all suffering? The Bible promises us that if we remain true to it. And we may not get it in this life. We may never be free of it while we live on this earth. But once we do leave this earth, once we have died the physical death, if we remain true to this word, once we have become free from sin, heaven will be our own. And that is the truest, the best type of liberation there will ever be. We will be truly free from everything that held us down in this life, everything that we worry about in this life. It will all be gone if we stay true to the word of God. But the last claim it makes is the word of God is what we will be judged by. You go over to John chapter 12 and verse 48 where it says, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." The Bible is God's law book. It lays down for us the exact law of God and what he wants us to do as his people. And just like with a civil government, are we not judged by the laws of the lands that we live in? Any crimes that we commit, are we not held up to the laws of the land to see if we have violated that law in some way? It's the same with God's word. It is his law, and if we fall short in obeying it, if we commit crimes against it of any kind, which that means sin in any way, we will be held up next to the law and see if we have lived up to it, if we have violated it in any way and not repented of it. This book that we have in our laps this evening, it is what will determine our fate on the last day, in the day of judgment. It is what we will be held up next to, and it will determine where our eternal home will be. So in order to stay true to it, in order to make sure that we don't violate it, we have to study it as often as we can. But a third reason to study is so that we can have an answer for what we believe. And trust me, people will ask us often why we believe the things that we believe. We have to give an answer for it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm pretty sure most of us know this passage, and I've heard it many, many times. But yet, it's still something that we need to be constantly reminded of, something to give us encouragement to continuously open God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." We need to be able to give them an answer, be able to give a defense for why we believe in the things that we do. Defend the gospel of Christ. Prove it to be true. And how do you prove anything to be true? You have to understand it and know it. The same with God's word. In order to give a defense for it, be able to tell people why we believe things the way we do, it takes time and it takes study. But not only that, once we have an understanding of it, we need to be able to go and teach other people the word of Christ. And of course, that opportunity arises when they ask you why we believe what we believe. That opens up an opportunity to be able to teach them the Word of God. But let me ask you this. If you had a teacher in school who had no idea the subject matter they were teaching, did you learn anything? Were they able to teach you the topic that they were trying to teach you? No, they weren't. So how can we as Christians be expected to teach God's Word if we don't know it at all? If we don't know even the basic principles? We have to understand God's Word. You go over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 where it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Paul admonishes the Colossians here, teach each other, admonish each other in the Word of God. Make sure that we all understand it. And this isn't just where we teach those that are outside of the Word of Christ, outside of the kingdom. But we even have to teach each other sometimes. Because we often forget things. We often fall short in ways. We help encourage each other and admonish each other to stay true to God's Word. And again, how does that happen? We have to know God's Word in order to teach people about it at all. But then once we have gotten to that point where we can teach others, we then can entrust them to teach it to other people. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Well, Paul tells Timothy, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Another reason that we teach in the first place is to help equip other people so that they can teach, so that they can spread the word. And just imagine, if all of us were living up to this, we're teaching the Word of God, as Paul is telling us to do here, wouldn't there be so many more Christians out there in the world today? We need to take every opportunity we have to be able to teach other people, and then therefore equip them to teach others. So it can keep going on and on and on, so that the church may grow, and that many more souls can be saved. We have to understand God's Word in order to be of any use to God, to do His commandments, to be able to prove why we believe what we believe, to have an answer when we ask those questions. We must study the Word of God. And also, deep study of God's Word helps us to avoid sin. Because first of all, we know what sin is. We can see what sin is. And we will recognize it for what it is. Satan can't pull the wool over our eyes, as it were. A good example is this found over in Matthew chapter 4. Because Jesus understood the Scriptures, not just because He was God, but because He knew the Scriptures, He was able to avoid the temptations of Satan. On all three of the temptations Satan gave to Jesus, what did He answer with? He answered with, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God alone." Jesus knew the Scriptures well enough that He could combat Satan in every respect. And that's how He answered it. And just imagine what we could do if we had that same type of knowledge of the Scriptures. How much harder would it be for us to fall into temptation's grasp? How much harder would it be for Satan to capture us, to turn us away from God? How many of us can answer every temptation that comes in our way and says, "It is written why I shouldn't do this"? I must admit, I fall short in this area. But that doesn't mean I can't improve on it. And any of these areas that we've looked at so far, we can improve on. And we must do our best to do so. But another reason is to be an example to the world about us and to our fellow Christians. You look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We are given examples all throughout the Bible to increase our faith in God. Excuse me. To ensure that we have those examples to see what it takes to be a child of God, to see what benefits come from being a child of God. And we as Christians in this day and age, we need to be living examples for the world about us. We need to be examples for those that are outside of the church. We need to be examples for new Christians. And even those Christians who have been one for years and years and years. We need examples. We need people to look up to, people to look at, to see what they do that is so good for Christ, to gain strength from them. How many of us have role models who are good Christians? And why are they our role models? Because they are good examples for us to follow. Didn't Paul encourage the Corinthians to imitate him as he imitated Christ? We need to have that same attitude where we can say that ourselves. Let us say to the world, imitate me because I imitate Christ. Study God's word to be living examples for all about us. In fact, James chapter 5, if you look at that chapter, we're not going to take the time to read it. But in that chapter, James uses examples in the scriptures to prove the power of prayer. He uses Elijah. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again and then it rained. Examples are there for us to gain courage from. To help us grow stronger. And people watch and follow our examples. They follow best by examples. We need to be living such a life that people can mimic us as Christians because we imitate Christ. But that only comes through deep study of God's Word. But we also need to understand God's Word, to study it, because it helps us to know the difference between truth and error, what is right and what is wrong. Because let's face it, well, first turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Paul admonishes Timothy here to know the difference between truth and error, so that he does not become like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are teaching false doctrine. Let's face it, we live in a time where there are several different doctrines out there, all saying that this is the Word of God. But how are we going to know the difference between one or the other? It is through the study of God's Word. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 16, Jesus warns us that this very thing is going to happen, where he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Jesus warns us that there will be people who creep into our midst, who say things, at first at least, that sound like it's the truth or sound good to our ears. But in reality, what they're preaching, it drags us away from God. That happens. That's happening now. We hear it every day. We encounter people like this every day. But we have to know the difference. We have to know truth from error. Again, if you go over to Acts chapter 20, I turn over there right quick, Acts chapter 20, we get the same warning once again. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where it says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul himself even warned us. Warned the people he was talking to here. Savage wolves come from among us. And sometimes it will be our own members. People who we have trusted. They will have fallen for these false doctrines. Fallen for the lies of Satan. The lies of man. And they will try to persuade us to go with them. And the only way to stop it is to know the difference between truth and error. And the only way to do that is study of God's Word. The next is, we need to understand that ignorance is no longer an excuse. Ignorance will not be an excuse in the day of judgment. Look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. God no longer will use ignorance as let ignorance be an excuse for why people didn't understand his word, why people didn't do what he said. He commands everyone to repent. But even in the Old Testament, this wasn't entirely the case. He didn't completely overlook ignorance. You see this in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The people of Israel were being punished because they had forgotten God's law. Some of them may not have even known it. Lack of knowledge is what destroyed them. Lack of knowledge of God's word is what destroyed them. God expected them to understand it, to know it, and they failed. That's what destroyed them. And lastly, we need to study God's word because he commands it. And really, just every passage we've looked at shows us that God expects study of his word, expects us to look into it more than just once or twice a week. Every single day, it arms us, it equips us, it prepares us for heaven itself. And unlike our stuff that we learn at school, I'm not saying school's not important, but unlike the stuff at school, our life truly depends on our study of God's word. Our eternal life truly depends on our study of God's word. Without obeying it, heaven is not going to be our home. Without knowledge of it, heaven is not going to be our home. We have to study God's word each and every day. And I know it's not always going to be easy. Our schedules get in the way. But don't let that stop you. We cannot let that stop us. We have to make the time sometimes. Set aside a time each night, each day, to study God's word. And this is as much a message to myself as the members here. We all have to do it. And to those here tonight who aren't Christians, has your study of God's word, what you've heard over the time you've been here, caused you to gain the faith, to believe that that Jesus was your Savior, had died on that cross for your sins? And through that realization, you now want to become a child of God. If that's the case, there's no better time than now to do it. And do it now, I encourage you. I implore you, do it now before it's too late for you. Because if you are not a child of God before Judgment Day comes, before your death comes, heaven's not going to be your home. To those of us who are Christians, we need to ask ourselves, how often have we studied God's word? How often do we spend time in it? How often do we meditate on what we've read? Think about it. And if our lack of study has caused us to go back into sin, we have to make correction before it's too late for us as well. And if you need us to offer our prayers on your behalf tonight so that God will forgive you, we'll be happy to do that. But whatever your need may be, we ask that you make it known to us tonight as we stand and sing this song for your encouragement.